Hey there, folks. Tavin Allen here, host of Comedy Above the Pub. Now, you probably heard the Jason DeLine episode. Loved it. If you did not, go back and give that a shout. You definitely need to go to comedyabovethepub.com or go to iTunes. Just search for Comedy Above the Pub and you can find it. However, I do question how you found this episode if you haven't gone to one of the other two ways to get this. Oh, yeah, maybe BlackBerry. Okay. Regardless, we talked for quite a long time, to be quite honest. And so instead of sending out a really, really huge episode, I figured, hey, how about some outtakes? We haven't done this yet. So here's a little bonus episode for you. This is the missing files, if you will, of the Jason DeLine episode. Hope you like it.
So, did you guys hear about the voice performer who called the cops on a guy beating the hell of a raccoon?
Yeah, well, I know he was a voice guy.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was a voice guy. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I don't know.
Yes,
the guy.
Our listeners love tales of baby raccoons being crippled.
Well, I'm sure you'll.
So you saw that Twitter feed too? Okay, no, all right. Saw what?
Yeah, there's like three people. So, like the emails going, how come you don't? Or like they tweeted us and said, "Great show. How come you don't talk about abused animals as much as you used to?"
Because we have an abused animal hosting the show.
That's right.
Yeah, I grabbed the Metro on the way here to look for topical things. I left it in your kitchen, but nice. I can't remember the dude's name.
Our listeners don't read the news. We can just make it up and they'll believe us.
We do.
Yeah. Do you decide what your listenership is by insulting them on the fly?
Where North America gets
weeding people out.
Yes. It's the whittling process. We bring people together through distance. That's how we do this.
Are you intelligent? Fuck you.
Yes. Hey, NASCAR.
Burp.
Blow me.
What is Ibrox? That's going to
That is a stadium where the Glasgow Rangers play in Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh,
my
okay.
other podcast.
Oh, really?
Podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's okay. We don't need to talk about it.
No, oh, no. Fine. Let me
sit
down. Let's talk about that.
Do we pretend that we're above a bar right now?
No.
No.
No, okay.
Not do the generic, hey, by the way, we're not actually above a pub thing, because every single person does it, and
really?
It's just getting lame at this point.
Yeah, no, I'll do everything I can to make it feel like we are above a pub.
You need to go meta.
Okay.
So I would say swear at a waitress.
All right.
Yeah. Slap her ass.
Yeah.
Metaphor. You've done space work.
Sure.
I've seen you improv. Look at that.
Oh, I can smell that burnt cheese on my nachos. I hope they're almost ready.
I thought you were referring to the tequila.
Oh.
We're here with Aaron Berg all of a sudden.
Burnt cheese. Oh, I hope you don't reference a bunch of people who I don't know and I come off like a jackass. That's all right.
Yeah. We'll do a lot of things to make everybody sound like a jackass.
So we were talking to Chris Brazo. Sorry, who's that now?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
here we go. I am going to grab 5 seconds of room tone.
He'd like to think so.
This out. Or I'm going to grab 3 seconds of room tone and punch him in the balls.
Yeah, I vote for that one.
Okay.
Just a second.
Ow, my balls.
When does the room tone start?
It did 5 seconds ago.
Don't mind the CBC playing in your head.
Oh, God. Really?
He seemed confused.
That's coming out. We've explained this.
Yes, but
you were late.
He doesn't know.
You were late being early.
I don't know. Yeah. My ears aren't that good. I don't hear CBC. Yes, I do.
There you go.
It's going to be in there.
I didn't know. Okay. I will start this in a second. Or maybe three. Here we go.
I'm Jason DeLine, and I assume you're listening to this. It's Comedy Above the Pub. Keep listening. This is the worst part of the podcast. Trust me.
I like having this. Just
for, you could theoretically do like 15 segments.
Oh, for sure.
And then pick like 4.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Could do.
But having someone in here for that long may.
It gets a little warm, but I think I'm just excited. I could do 20 segments with you guys. This is awesome. We should pick a topic for every segment. And then let's just do a Jason DeLine segment for every show for the next year.
Sure
and we'll
thing.
Record all 52 of them today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your favorite time of the show.
Two rants with Jason DeLine.
48 hours in. So, those pop rocks, they scare the hell out of me. guys, wake up! This is awesome here.
I believe we have our outtake. You're welcome.
We still have to do bumpers. We never actually
We did some beforehand. We did the real show before you got
okay.
here.
Okay. Even the fuck you, Atlas?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no, what? We didn't do a fuck you, Atlas.
Are you compiling a fuck you, Atlas?
Yeah. We'll do that as a close.
All right.
We'll do that as a close.
Anytime, I can do it anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, Alice.
Okay. He just says it randomly on the bus.
Can I?
Yeah, I'm not even around.
When you're not there, yeah.
Hey, just one moment. Wait, I meant to, sorry, stop that. That is like 30. There we go. What are you saving these fuck you Atlases for?
Why are you collecting these? It seemed like an idea at the time, and now I just don't want to get rid of them. I want to have a full set.
You know what? There is something to that. Yeah. Do you collect anything and wonder why you collect them?
Batman memorabilia.
Is that right?
I collect
That's the truth. Yeah. And I have some impressive... We could talk about it. And I've got some impressive...
Todd loves nerdery. I've never met one guy who was in such denial about the fact that he's the biggest dork on the planet.
First of all, there's a difference between nerd and dork.
He doesn't have to say anything, and I see your point. First of all.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're right.
He's like, I have 5 points I would like to illustrate the contrary to your argument. Point one.
Which also proved them.
He's a Venn diagram and a rhombus to right. prove me wrong.
I think by the shake of this magic eight ball, you can see I am not a nerd.
One of my favorite gags in that show, How I Met Your Mother. I'm late to the party. I've watched, I think, 5 seasons in the last 3 months.
Sure. Stop there. It's horrible afterwards.
Really?
Season 6 is abysmal.
Is it? Right?
Okay, absolutely.
Well, anyway, one part I love was when Marshall, Jason Segel, he says, here's a bar graph of my favorite pies. And here's a pie graph of my favorite bars. That to me was
okay. That's a funny
gold.
Bit.
I loved
that's
it.
That's a funny
it
bit. I may jump on board for this franchise.
Well, I don't know how many seasons are on DVD, but we have the most recent one available.
Yeah, season and we're six halfway is just through it. Finished. And it's just
okay.
this
on air.
Yeah, they've just okay. kind of.
I haven't
like,
seen
like,
any
a lot of American sitcoms. They kind of reach that point, like, oh, we've done as much as we can with these characters.
We're out of
but
concept.
We're still making money.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to tack on story arc and
well, also the concept of the show sort of sounds short lived. I'm going to tell you kids the story sure. of How I Met Your Mother. I mean, they could have wrapped it up
a tease as oh, not her,
because they don't know if they're going to get renewed. It could yeah. cancel each time. Have we started the second segment? Or
I'm sure there'll be a code open.
Is there a good part to?
Sure.
Hey, folks.
And we're back.
You tuned into the fuck you television portion.
So here's the thing. And yeah. I want to go back to How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
I have given it absolutely no street cred at all.
I didn't even know you knew my mother.
Terrible.
Yeah, thank you. That was deserved.
Wait a second. Where's your mom from?
My mom, was born in London, Ontario.
Has she ever spent any time in Gananoque? Because he could be your father.
No.
I don't think that's true.
No, that's not possible.
How? Okay.
That would be horrible. He's like Kearney.
Gananoque is a bit of a
As a teenager and the baron of a teenager.
Right. As I took off my training wheels, my seminal glands kicked in.
Quotes, training wheels.
I forget, you're not quite as old as you sound and act.
That is true.
Wow. I'm glad he didn't say, look, he's got some respect for it.
No, he has none. Christ. He has none.
Pity, then.
He really just saves it. He just saves it.
Elvis is looking weepy. We need to take another shot.
No.
We've only taken
really?
Two. Yeah, we got to do one a segment.
Listener, I apologize.
One a segment.
Oh, boy.
This is the third segment. Here
okay,
we go.
This is the
Knocking back, buddy. Hi, this is Jason DeLine, and you are listening to Comedy Above the Pub. Keep your eyes on the road. It's not alcoholism if you're not alone.
Oh, I have brought a lot of people along with this journey.
Oh.
Gee, I'm so glad I'm missing out on
no.
this.
No, okay, so here's the thing. I get the feeling that tonight could be my rock bottom.
Okay. As far as what?
As far as the drinky drink. Oh. This could happen. Like, if this continues, this could be
it's awful. Almost 8 o'clock.
If you guys want to see the bottle, check the album art.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. So...
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Here's the thing. One of the things, if TV is anything to go by, is restitution of all the wrongs that you've done.
You say restitution again?
Did I say that? Restitution?
Three cups of, yeah, there you go.
Is that right? Restitution? Yeah. So you got to go out and apologize to the people of the
right. That's the second
I don't know
step.
How I'm going to track down all the people who have downloaded this episode to apologize.
We're going
to
do a special episode that is an apology
for this particular thing.
To be fair, I don't think it'll take long.
Let's get back to How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
I never gave that show like any sort of street cred or anything.
Yeah,
like
me
that.
Neither.
And that's
me
easy
neither.
To do because given the cast. It's
been
and
on.
What they've done.
It's been on for like 6 years.
But here's the thing. I remember him from Doogie Howser. I remember watching that live and being a thing.
Was it a live show? I didn't know that.
It was totally done live.
Wow.
Including all the computer.
That's why he won all those Tonys. Yes, it was exactly. Broadway and film. Sure.
My bedroom is a hell of a thing. Yeah, I'm typing in my bio. I don't know what it is.
He's great. He's a really funny guy.
Mr. Musical Theater.
He's a really funny guy. He did the Harold and Kumar movies. He came out as being gay. He's a hit on Broadway. But now he plays this real ladies' man.
Do you think that helped? Is
that the thing? I think one kind of goes with the other. Okay.
But a lot of people didn't know him as that. It was just like, he's the Doogie Howser guy. It's the girl from American Pie, the dude from...
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. And,
now he's done I Love You, Man, which he's done great in. And he's directing The Muppets, and he wrote The Muppets. And
Jason
Segel. Yeah. He wrote the script for the new Muppets movie, and he's directing it.
Okay.
And he's a huge Muppets fan. And I think it's going to be great. It's good back to the kind of adult-oriented Muppets of yore, not like Christmas
What's he doing
with the Muppets.
To Miss Piggy?
I knew that was coming from a teenager.
So for that, Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings. The listener may know this. Oh, we may have already mentioned this. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah. A Bad Taste?
Nope.
Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles.
Yeah.
Ian, have you seen this?
I'm aware it's a thing.
You need to make yourself more
hipster
than aware.
Pulp culture does not count. You have to see it.
Got hipster scolded.
That's right.
Your Chuck Taylors out of here.
To the listener who doesn't know, and we may have mentioned this on the show in one of the previous incarnations or this one, Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings guy, about to do The Hobbit. Everyone thinks, really nice. Oh, look at that. Really knows how to tell an elegant story. Go and see if you can rent Meet the Feebles.
Without your kids.
Definitely do not. Okay, so you know, like in the Muppet Show or in the Muppet movies, like you say, there's always that kind of a nod and a wink to the parents.
Sure.
We know you're with your kids.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
So it's still PG.
A little touch of the elbow, the finger beside the nose.
Yeah. This is a finger up the ass and the elbow in your face.
This is show business, because the Muppet Show was about show business. Picture the Muppet Show, but showing all the seedy things that happen. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
To the ninth degree.
To the ninth degree.
Yeah.
There's heroin use. There's a porn ring in the theater. There is a bulimic hippo character. Who do you think that's going to be? Oh, there's a knife throwing frog who came back from Nam, who is a methadone addict. It's just so.
Sex, drugs,
so
swearing.
Man.
Fantastic. Puke.
And then
puke.
It's all through the eyes of this little country hedgehog who comes in. And this is Peter Jackson.
This
is Peter Jackson. Of this little hedgehog who's just trying to make his way in the city.
Yeah.
Just like coming in, fresh face. Oh, I got some talent.
I know.
People told me about
this. It's so weird.
Fantastic.
It's so weird. And now this guy is a marvel. I was talking to someone today about Lord of the Rings and how Peter Jackson had this such a clear vision of what he wanted to do. He hired the people who did the art for, I guess, the original books.
Right.
And got them to be the art directors in the film and said, okay, give me some storyboards for this. And then he would come in and see like 9 of them and go, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes.
Right.
And then he'd walk away and then they would take it from there. And he obviously had such a clear vision. And this guy had like, basically an X-rated Muppet show 15 years earlier. It's just such a weird transition.
Everybody learns somewhere.
I know.
But to me, I can't think of stuff he did in between.
But
like, he came out of nowhere and did King Kong.
Beautiful Creatures. That was one of
his. Oh, that's right.
Creatures.
But as far as big epics, like King Kong, I think, was his first kind of...
No, King Kong came after Lord of the Rings.
King Kong
Is that
came
right?
after. Yeah, it did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It did. But here's the thing, too, about that. I had a friend of mine who was on set at Lord of the Rings.
In
New Zealand.
New Zealand, wow.
He, Canadian fella. Uh-huh. In fact, I just met him before he came over here. He comes over once a year. And he, having a North American accent, gets a lot of American-Canadian voice roles.
Sure. You know, what's his name?
Robert Caddo.
Okay.
He is a photographer. Make sure you go and check him out. He's a listener of the podcast as well, a friend of this.
Sure.
Caddo.co.nz. He is a photographer. So if you are a listener in New Zealand,
he lives in New Zealand, but he comes to Canada to do work once a year.
No. He comes over like once a year to visit his family and stuff like
in
that.
In Canada?
Yes. And he lives and works in New Zealand right now.
Really?
He met the love of his life down there.
Wow.
And she's a lovely woman, Delia. Shout out to her.
That's like a 19-hour flight, right?
It is. It is. And they were just, I think they're doing it today, if I'm not mistaken. They're doing it today and will be landing today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. So wow. By the time this lands, they will have landed. But the point of the story is he got extra work because he's a tall fella. So he was one of the orcs in the first one.
Wow, cool.
And so they were doing like a lie down death scene up a scale of a hill. And I remember him like emailing me through Facebook or something like that saying, I don't know what this guy's doing. I don't know what he's doing.
Peter Jackson.
Because my buddy's a photographer and he's looking at going, I don't know what the lighting is doing. It's like, you know, I'm really questioning this. This is going to be awful.
Wow.
This is going to be wicked, stupid. Wow. And then literally a month later, he saw some dailies or something like that and went, forget everything I said.
Wow. Forget really?
Everything
I said. That's really interesting.
Said.
That to someone in his, who obviously knows a thing about lighting and creating a shot, that he would be second-guessing so much of what he did. Because it's obviously a beautifully shot.
But you always sort of do that. I mean, like, you know, as an actor, tell me you don't sit there and go, oh, that choice, eh?
Better.
It's Johnny Depp!
But like, I am genuinely better than him.
I know that. The listener does as well. They know this.
I was talking to somebody about that today, too, about how you have to be in the business and be successful in the business for a certain amount of time before you can voice your opinion.
For sure.
There have been times where I've had to say something in a script that is obviously grammatically incorrect, and I cringe. And then you really have to weigh the situation as to whether or not, you know, I really can't say that and still make any kind of sense. Yes. But you don't want to get the junior copywriter fired or have the client, you know, not be sure about the creative agency and then you never work again. So sometimes you got to bite your tongue and say things that you don't want to say. Mm-hmm. But now I'm at a point where, no, I don't think I'm going to say that way. I'm William Shatner.
I love you going though to audition.
Yeah. No.
And going, no. I will be in my trailer. There's no trailer. I brought my own. It's idling outside. Run the meter.
What does that mean? I'm a taxi driver and a meter in my trailer.
Right.
For some reason, I hired a guy to charge me to park my trailer. at the audition, I tend not to voice my opinions too strongly. I want the gig.
Sure.
But after a certain amount of time, maybe you should. I'm not slurring nearly enough.
The good people at A&W do not know what has hit them tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to A&W? That too?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh my gosh, we should have some A&W. You ever had a rum in A&W?
Have I ever?
R&R? A rum and root beer.
A rum and root beer.
Yeah, I call it.
Now, I will say this, and I'm going in with this motivation. I believe, and I stand by this, and the listener who has done their research will know this.
Okay.
I stand by the fact that there's only one true root beer out there, and that root beer is A&W.
I agree, 100%.
So I am on that board. This Barks nonsense that the skateboarder kids like?
Yeah.
No, I've had
my share of Barks, Hires, and Mug.
Hires
and
hires what should be.
They don't compare. They don't compare.
Awful.
There is a sarsaparilla now in the stores that you can get an alcoholic sarsaparilla, which it isn't supposed to be alcoholic because that was what people drank at the bars in the West when they didn't want to drink alcohol. It was the soda. But there's an alcoholic sarsaparilla now, and it's basically a vodka and root beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I call rum and root beer an R&R. Or mother's milk. It goes down so nice. It's got a nice little bubbly carbonation to it, and it gets you smiling pretty quick.
Right.
50-50. Okay. Rum and root beer.
Todd, there's your shot.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, we got another tequila.
I'm looking to you. Who is the guest that talked about the mother's milk?
Oh, that's a different kind.
Was I here for that one?
Yeah, you were. Oh, you know what? Maybe you weren't.
You're so memorable.
No, you were. It was Daryl Purvis.
Okay.
Where he talks about...
He slurred half that episode. Yeah.
Was he loaded?
You did not.
No.
You should have been... You're the one who's always calling me on these little factoids.
Was it a breast milk episode?
It was... There was a... If you
it
go back...
It clearly wasn't a memorable moment.
No, my God. This was one of the most awful things we've ever talked about on this podcast.
Oh, you mean the breastfeeding?
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about.
To a certain age? Is that what...
The fact that you said mother's milk and described it as that, suddenly I thought back to Daryl Purvis's episode where... to the listener, I'm not going to repeat it.
Story then.
Go back and listen to that episode.
Right.
Those who've already listened to it, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are new, Daryl Purvis.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
It'll never live up to my
Before we leave. Before we leave. And we got to go.
Oh, really? Are we nearing the end of this?
We got to go. We got to go. We can't always Simpsons it up. You know, we can't.
Well, before we go, I want you know his favorite secondary Simpsons character.
My favorite secondary Simpsons.
Yes, let's do that.
You know, and I hope we see a lot more of him.
Now, hang on.
Let the guest finish.
No. I want to definitely, because we've had this discussion before.
Well, Mo isn't a secondary character, right? Like, I mean,
basically anyone outside the core,
the
five
immediate
family.
What?
Yeah.
That's too easy. There's a million.
That's the thing. There is a million.
Okay.
So
there should be A.
No. We're both
there should
Simpsons,
be tears.
We are both Simpsons nerds here, yeah. And everyone who's listening to this knows that we are all that. Anyway, there are levels of tertiary characters.
Yeah.
Like there's secondary tertiary.
The A level is the family of five. The B level is the people you see in every episode. Like
Lenny,
Burns,
Carl.
Lenny, Carl, yeah. Mo.
That's a very populated episode.
No, come on. Almost every episode you see at least a one-off of Mo or Lenny or Carl or Burns.
Or Barney or Otto or Dr.
Not
Nick.
Not Otto. Sure. Not Nick. Nick's a tertiary. I would say he's in the C level.
Sure.
He's dead now anyway. He died in the movie.
Wow. Spoilers, everybody.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I own that. Never
come
mind.
On.
Okay.
I'll be watching that
tonight.
Well, I'm going to go tertiary.
Fine.
Okay. I want to lay down the ground rules. I wasn't trying to shit.
Not everything needs a fucking rule, Grandpa.
My favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to Ian the Anarchist, the most uptight anarchist you're ever going to.
How about this? My favorite A level primary is probably Homer, and he was very early on. It was everyone knows it was a Bart show for a while, and then it became the Homer show. I like Homer quite a bit. Secondary character. Is probably I like Lenny and Carl a lot. I like some of their smaller moments. Mm-hmm. Like, did you hear something? No, did I? I don't know. I love when they put each other in their place.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Yep, that's great.
Tertiary. I really like the guy who's too tall for the car he could afford.
Oh my god! Yes.
Hey everybody, it's that kid who laughs at everyone. Yep. Let's all laugh at him.
Sure.
I think he was only in one episode.
I think he was in the second. I think he was in a second.
Right.
I cannot confirm nor deny it.
Okay.
But
I enjoyed that, and I don't know. There's something about him.
So we'll go around the table.
Sure.
And we're going to hold off for your favorite celebrity.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So your celebrity that's coming either as a voiceover in another character or flat out celebrity.
All right.
Okay. So that you've built it. You've done the family. Mm. The secondary and tertiary.
Is this to do with Simpsons? You mean celebrity? Celebrity cameo.
Cameo. Okay, so Ian, have a dig. Who's your favorite family member?
Well, it's Homer, but that's easy. It's not even a
question.
See,
that's not mine.
Well, yeah, but you're fucking too old.
That's not
anyway.
Mine.
Sideshow Bob, favorite character.
I would put that under celebrity guest.
Okay, I guess so.
So I'm saying secondary and tertiary.
I would put Cecil above.
All right, then if I can't have Sideshow Bob as my favorite secondary character, then I am going with Groundskeeper Willie.
Okay.
Wow, I'm really surprised at how pedestrian your choices are.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't pick my choices to impress you. Oh, you're so mainstream.
Back to the lock with you, Nessie.
Willie hears you.
All right, tertiary?
Or
tertiary.
Whatever.
The Mayan pronunciation.
The fucking Arnie pie in the sky.
All right.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And then I guess, the celebrity, if I was going to say.
No. We'll come back around. Come back around for the celebrities. Primary, Marge.
Really?
Yep. And the reason I select that is because Homer does have great lines.
Uh-huh.
He has great lines. One of my favorite lines of his all the time is
Space Coyote.
Nope. It is when Bart says when Bart is enamored with him as like an idol, and he's got to do a book report on him, or like a school report. He goes, "Dad, boxers are briefs," and he just looks down and goes, "Nope." Great lines, but Marge. One of my favorite things of her is that she calls Homer on bullshit, and she also has her own neuroses. Two examples. I'm not afraid of anything.
Really? Sock puppets!
Like, that's okay. So there's one. awful impressions. I apologize. I blame the tequila.
I'm not sure who was who in that scenario, yeah, but right. That's cool.
And her screaming, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out of the plane.
Of the plane. You fantastic. Just see the hair. That was great animation, too. Just right. The hair going back and forth.
Just the hair going back and forth. And when someone calls her on her bullshit and her response is, who wants ginger snaps? That's one of my favorite lines ever made. So
another one where she was called was when she was that same episode with the plane where she's talking to the psychiatrist, right. And you might say my father was a pioneer. Well, let's not go nuts.
Lowenstein. Lowenstein.
What was her name? My name is
Weintraub.
Lowenstein.
Is that a reference to something, Lowenstein?
I think it's Zweig, actually, is actually the shrink's name. But anyway, it's like I find Marge's moments finding all the right. Elegance and dignity and still losing her shit to be mm-hmm. wonderful. Secondary character, which we...
Wow, I forgot we were talking about.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, we're still here.
I got to go Krusty. Krusty is that old fella who's just one of my favorite lines, and is a fairly new episode within the past 10 years, let's say, when he's flipping through the opera crazy. Script and goes, and I love the fact that we can say it's fairly recent. Yeah. It's in the past
yeah,
decade.
That's insane.
That's how long that is. When he's flipping through the opera, he's got to go, okay, edit, 2X. One of my favorite things is just the fact that he's that
he gets
tacky.
Away with so many inappropriate lines. Oh. Very quick one-offs.
Yep.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know what I was thinking last night.
And tertiary has to be the guy who is balding, winged hair, mustache, and has the line, and we all know it. Okay, yeah, 100 yellow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's my favorite.
He's got. All right, how's this for a movie for you, fatty? A bridge too far.
And they don't show him because they don't want to show him as hateful.
I've heard you say that before. Yeah, I don't know if I buy it.
It was probably on the Simpsons episode.
I don't know if I buy it because I think that guy's pretty sarcastic most of the time.
He is, but they don't want to paint him as the asshole.
I love that you gave it that much thought. Yeah. Why didn't they cut to him?
No.
Oh, I know why.
Yeah, don't cut to that.
A detailed series of rankings. He's a value. Valuing them on different criteria. Okay. It's all very scientific.
So, last round around, before we get into what you're doing, let's
the favorite celebrity.
Favorite celebrity.
Well, there's been quite a few. I almost went with Paul and Linda McCartney because I think they were pretty good sports on that episode. But I think Spinal Tap. I think they were a lot of fun. And I really love, spoiler alert, that they died in the episode, that their bus caught on fire and went off the road, or I'm not sure what order that happened, and it doesn't matter. And I love that when they were playing, they had to look at the back of the guitar to see what city they're playing. Yes. We love you, Springfield.
Which is anchored in truth, actually.
Well, it was such a Spinal Tap style of story, sure. But also very Simpsons, and I love the way they both went together. And it's one of those ones that I feel like it was one of the smarter episodes. I was talking with somebody, I was talking with my friend Adam today about a lot of things that are coming. It's weird, but the best thing about the Simpsons, I think, is that they can make references to things that are amazingly spot on and very gratifying to people who get them, but they write them in such a way that people who don't get the reference still find it funny.
Yes, exactly.
And that blows my mind because I've made references to movies like The Godfather and stuff to people as a joke. And they'll go, Simpsons reference, huh? And I'm like, no, you plebe. It's a Godfather reference that was brilliantly satirized 30 years later in The Simpsons. And you didn't bother to research it. But what really stuck in my mind was that you thought that reference that I made was funny just because it was on The Simpsons. Like, it was a good enough joke on its own. But it's brilliant because it's a reference to something that only so many people get. And I really think that's the strength of that series because it can appeal to such a broad demographic.
And by the way, one of my favorite Marge lines out of that is when she refers to the band as the Spinal Taps.
Or when Fish was on and they introduce Homer as, here's someone who's a real po-feed. I loved that. Like, those guys would know that word.
Yes.
I thought that was brilliant.
Po-feed. Ian?
It's a tie.
Yes.
Aerosmith and the Ramones.
I'm with you on one of those.
The Ramones, I'm with.
Guess which one?
Ramones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Aerosmith is okay. It was in the Flaming Moes episode, yeah, but that's one inconsequential.
Admittedly, that's one of Ian's favorite episodes. The Flaming Moes. Yeah. That is one of your favorite episodes. But then also
just like, hello, St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Springfield.
Right.
But actually, and then just like, you know, Krabappel's got Joey Kramer, like, kidnapped in the van.
It's
like,
yeah.
Can I have my drumsticks packed, please? Come and get him. Fine,
come and get him. And Homer's, you know, the hoodie on the house coat, it's cough syrup, and knocking on the window very
Yeah,
creepily.
Like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Homer, you just fell on Aerosmith.
Right. But again, the regular listener will know one of my favorite Simpsons moments is on the backs of the Ramones.
Yeah.
Which is
have the Rolling Stones killed.
It's before that. It's the quivering Mr. Burns as the first part after the
Yeah, that's
I think they liked us.
Favorite. Well, wasn't there a thing where there was one where Burns was talking about Elvis Presley and Richard Nixon, or no, Elvis Presley and
yes,
Homer Simpson, or yeah. Richard, and I wonder if he's related to. I wonder if Homer Simpson's related to this Richard or Elvis. I can't. How did it go? Right. Do you guys remember?
No,
I doubt they're related, sir. They spell and pronounce their names differently. Yeah. Anyway,
there was a moment where Burns does a Elvis impression.
Hey,
he's trying.
Todd
to
was just came with us having to leave part.
Yes.
What's your favorite? My favorite,
and it's going to be celebrity. And what's beyond tertiary? Probably about tertiary.
Oh my god!
It's any Kelsey Grammer, any Sideshow Bob. Any okay. Sideshow Bob.
Way
my
to
favorite
fucking ride my answer episodes. Again.
You should have said Phil Hartman for real props, because he's played two characters in the show, at least.
Or.
And he's more true.
We could also go Albert Brooks, but my favorites are always Sideshow Bob. They're always the best.
They're pretty good.
Always the best. It's like Fraser meets Simpsons.
I know.
Meets awesome.
It feels
it's so good.
It feels like there's a different class of writer that comes on for those shows to write Kelsey Grammer's lines. It's so literate.
When David Hyde Pierce was on and the
call was Maris.
Maris?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Like, yes, anyone could have picked it out, but sure. You know, some caliber writer just went, went into the writer's room that day and went, we have to make this joke. And we're like, make it happen.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that room to see the jokes flying around and have it all come together.
That moment when Cecil and Sideshow, I can't believe this is where we've gone to, but we are. But that listeners, either strap in or turn off. That's where it's
never turn off. Never turn off.
Never turn off.
It's not possible, actually, with today's
technology. It's not a podcast. It's a hostage crisis.
Okay, so then is it nope, still Simpsons. So then Homer says, nope, still Simpsons.
You're making it worse.
So that moment when they and they are mocking or making props to Frasier when they've got Cecil and Sideshow Bob in the same apartment is like, and they're making the wine reference. Well, I have a Chateau Latour or I have this, and goes, I've been drinking, you know, fermented orange juice behind a radiator. It's like the Latour then. Like, this is like that sort of reference, which is would have been funny on its own.
Yeah.
The fact that it calls back to the actual context of the reference.
A dry highbrow that isn't. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just so good.
Yep.
All right. We have to talk about you for a second.
Oh, lovely.
Let's do this.
Why not?
Can we?
Yeah, sure.
Is that something?
Here I am.
We got to close off. I understand that you've got a, first of all, you're a member of Radio Vault.
I am. I guess an ex-member of Radio Vault.
Is that done?
It's done.
It's finished?
It's dead. We, the founding members.
Was it me emceeing for you? Is that what killed it?
I won't say that it helped.
It wasn't entirely that.
It was entirely that.
It didn't help.
He's not here to help.
We had a couple of real golden years. We went to the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival. Sure. We had a really good run. And then we kind of took a hiatus. One of the founding members, Alex Cole, moved to Edinburgh, Scotland to do schooling, and he's still living there.
Yeah,
He was a real big driving force behind it. And me and Neil Jones, we were the three founding members who were still around. We really missed the magic of having Alex, because me and Neil bickered a lot, and Alex was kind of the – the mediator type of thing. We all had very strong personalities and opinions about things. And we got a couple of different groups together, tried to do it again, and we just didn't get that same magic. We weren't getting fulfilled, and we tried to do a number of different things, podcasts, and it was just a lot of work for very little in return.
Sure.
And we thought, if we're not having fun anymore, we just shouldn't do it. And I do miss it. I think it was an important voice in the Toronto comedy. It was for those who don't know, it was radio-based sketches. It was all audio-based sketches. We'd put on suits and stand in front of microphones and read scripts to an audience. We didn't act anything out. We didn't have fat guys falling down. It was all very talky. Which we really liked. We could set things anywhere. And originally it was about trying to do things you could hear on the radio, and maybe it would be at a specific radio station, a specific time. And then it just basically became audio sketches. We lost that framework. We wanted to try to write a thread in between, but we just didn't have the time. We did a new 40 minutes every month, and that was a lot of work.
That's hard to do, and it's hard to rehearse, and it's hard to make sure that, you know, the funny beats are going to be coming at the same time.
Well, and you never really know, because we didn't test anything.
Sure.
And if something – we did the occasional best of show, but if something didn't land the first time it was done, it was never done again. And it's kind of crazy, but we rewrote and rewrote and rewrote through that month, and if we didn't feel something was ready, we wouldn't put it on the air. We wouldn't put it in the show. We'd save it. And we had six or seven people working, and until everyone thought a sketch was ready, it wouldn't go on. So we were pretty confident that every sketch was pretty great when it went. Nice. And we were pretty happy with the reception. We ended up doing more sketches than the Fire Sign Theater did.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
That's true. Yeah.
Because Fire Sign have done a lot.
Yep. We tallied up our number of sketches and those, and
they were doing it on vinyl. Fuck that.
I'd love to go back in the studio, redo it all, put it out. But what I want to do next is actually take some of the stuff that I wrote and turn them into short animated films and show them at festivals and stuff. Because I want to get into directing animation, voice directing. And I'm trying to produce that, get off the ground, talking to different animators and stuff and figuring that out.
And you also do a voice workshop every once in a while.
That's true. It's called Find...
Hands up who's taking it in this room.
Oh, Todd Van Allen's hand is up. He took a very early version of it.
It was wow. I've never seen anyone with like a speaker in the big tape recorder from 1975 and just like, okay, speak close to the microphone.
Come on, I had a laptop.
Because it's the cheesiest. Okay.
I had a laptop. I rented a room at the Bad Dog Theater. It was a one day. And now it's a 6-week course, and it's done
6 weeks.
6 weeks, one day, one night a week, for 2.5 hours, 6 weeks. It's a bit more expensive than it was.
Bet it was.
But now it's at Tattoo Sound and Music, a professional sound studio in town, and you get a demo at the end of it too. Mm-hmm. So it's 6 weeks of me talking and practical experience. Of course, they get to go in the studio every single week, and then there's homework to take home, so they absorb all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So you were kind of a guinea pig.
You don't say.
What was this, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Something like that. It was probably when you Google voice, your name comes up. Boom, there it is.
And I had a USB headset mic, I think, that plugged into my laptop, and I think Todd was one of the unlucky few whose files got lost
It was not only lost, and quite frankly, I'm glad it was, because here's a little tip for you. How about making if you're teaching a class, and I'm really only...
This is why he brought me here, this folks. It's all been leading up to this.
Ian, strap him to the chair, please. You've seen this before.
Some more tequila. Should I get the shovel?
Yeah, do that.
Should we have a shot of tequila before we get into this?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. Here. Are we doing this?
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's what that pit is for. All right, last shot of tequila, folks.
Okay, there we are.
Here we go. Hi, you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub. This is Jason DeLon. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. This is an audio podcast. God, where do we get these people?